The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Cap, J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay, we have got JC, we got Shay for now. We'll see how the pilk works as he just had Pepsi and milk in our last segment. We'll see how long he'll stay with us.
It's not settling well in the stomach.
Oh, God. It
looked awful.
But you know what? He's a gamer.
Anything for the show.
He tried it both ways, by the way. Shay, if you just missed it, you can go back in the archives and check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Our friend, so he had milk and Pepsi, mixed it together, and you know what? He got used to the taste, and you know what happened, Cap? He's still standing for now.
For now. So, he's starting to look queasy.
So we'll hear from Jesse Rogers, by the way, from San Diego with the latest on what is happening with the Cubs and White Sox.
Snorling just went by.
Mrs. Snorling has no idea what her husband just did.
She doesn't even like when I drink milk regularly. She thinks it's disgusting. So if she saw what I just did, there may have been divorce papers.
So I don't think she is aware. She waves, but she doesn't know what happened. Wait until she gets home. How about this, Cap? So we find out yesterday that the Cubs are starting to make some moves, as they were just another team, and now they're trying to get back in the mix by making a couple of deals. A four-year deal with right-hander Jameson Taillon, and a one-year deal with center fielder Cody Bellinger.
Correct. So they've picked up Taillon, the four-year deal, $68 million. And Bellinger turned down multi-year offers from other teams because, A, he wanted a one-year deal to rebuild his value. He had a shoulder injury, and he has struggled over the last couple seasons. That's A. B, he wanted to be a Cub. What I was told, he reached out to some former Cubs and talked to them and went, okay, I want to do this. I want to play there. So if he has a really good year, he's going to get paid big because he's still in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
He was a 2019 National League MVP. We'll see how it works out. I believe there's no bad one-year deals. You guys signed Mike Clevinger. I like that signing a lot for the White Sox.
Yeah.
If Mike Clevinger does not have a good year, see you later. Thanks, we tried.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Cody Bellinger. It's the eight-year, $250 million deals when they don't work out. Those are a problem.
Thank you for mentioning the White Sox deal, the pat on the head on the Clevinger deal, because that's all the Sox have done so far.
That's correct.
You know, shuffling the chairs in the Titanic is not good enough for me as a White Sox fan, Cap. Mm-hmm. As from your side of the desk, you have to be pleased that, okay, the Cubs are in motion to do something. Doesn't mean playoffs, doesn't mean World Series, but at least you're in the mix doing something. Now, you're active, you're alive.
And I believe a lot more is coming.
But answer my question, though. You have to feel good as a Cub fan that the Cubs are alive.
We're back.
That's all I'm saying.
We're alive again. And as the uber super amazing baseball agent Scott Boras said yesterday, the tom-tom drum is finally beating again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, he said to Jed, it's time to spend. Let's go.
Sure. Sure.
It needed to be done. What we did, we cleaned out some stuff, and now it's time to go.
Have you turned the page on Hayward? Yes, you have. And that whole regime of the championship teams, those guys are gone. Now it's time to reimagine this Cubs team. Other side of town, right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000, not much happening. Len, that's exactly right.
Correct.
Not much is happening here. And I will just tell you, Cap, as you take a look at that depth chart for the White Sox, could you tell me that you can go north with that team and think that you're going to be able to compete with Cleveland
or the
Twins?
As they're currently constructed today, no. But I also believe they will not be what they are today when you break camp in Glendale.
Oh, worse.
No. I do think you'll make some type of a pretty solid trade. Now, will you be better? I can't answer that question. But I don't think The roster as it currently sits today, I do not believe that's the roster going north.
Same city, same expectations. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's the Cubs or White Sox. It's still Chicago.
Agreed. Big boy market.
Let me just make sure that you understand something. If Rick Hahn, after Thursday, stands against that cold wall in the hotel and comes out with nothing besides Clevenger, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be happy.
And you have every right to be upset. Because you were told, support this rebuild. We're going to tear it apart. They did. And we'll be ready to win. They haven't.
So here's your plan at the deadline, right? Here's your plan. We just have to get healthy and we'll be able to turn things around. Well, that never happened. That day never happened where you were healthy enough to be able to compete to be in the playoffs.
Everybody out there, this is a true story. Hoodie said to me off the air, if our general manager is up against the dugout wall, sitting there with 45 microphones in his face and 50 cameras, and says, we tried, it wasn't for lack of effort, but we couldn't get anything done, I'm going to go crazy. I called him from work. You'll remember this.
Yes.
From TV. I said, I'm watching the in-house feed. Wait till you hear the cut from Rick. We'll get it for radio tomorrow. And that's exactly, he was sitting in the dugout, up high on the back of the bench.
Yes.
With the wall behind him.
Yes.
That said, whatever, sponsor. Bona beef.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't for lack of effort, but we couldn't get anything done.
Brother.
That guy went nuts.
Brother, that just won't get it done.
Right.
Not in this city.
Nope.
Does not get it done.
Nope.
I don't care what the problems they have at 35th and Vec, okay? You've got to be able to be better than this. Jerry wants another World Series championship. That's why he feels like he's all in. Now, here's the thing. If you come back north and you're not really making changes, here's just a second baseman off the scrap heap. We expect Moncada to be healthy. Abreu's out. We brought Vaughn over at first base. We'll figure out the outfield. Sheets an everyday player in the outfield?
Every day? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah,
nice
me either.
Platoon guy.
Yeah, me either. But this is what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Unhappy with this so far. Unhappy. If you're going in, again, if you got to make more deals, do what you have to do. But I want a better ball club out there. That's why I want to see. Because I'm reading all these quotes like you are about Grafal talking about it's everything, really. This team really needs to play hard for him. What does that mean? What does that really mean? What ball player is not playing hard? You don't think Tim Anderson plays hard?
He does.
What is that? Now you're just BSing. See, that's the thing, Cap. You want to do this in a small market where no one's paying attention, that's fine. You can't BS us in Chicago. Come on now. Don't just give us these flowery adjectives about, well, the Sox just have to play hard. Is that the difference between a World Series championship or not? No, talent is the difference. The Cubs over there are going to be, and I said it to you earlier this past season, 24, that's when that team's going to contend. 24. Because I feel like the Cubs are ramping up towards something.
Yeah.
Okay, but can I say the same thing for the White Sox? Standing still? You don't win a championship standing still. You don't.
Agreed.
So it's not it's as much as people want to pile on La Russa or the higher Grafal, it's about the talent. And if you're just standing still, it's going to look the same. 81 and 81? And Moncada's still in this ball club? Giolito's still in this ball club. Okay.
Do you have the Joe Lacob quote over there that we play once every 2 months?
You'll have to ask JC for that.
Jay, the owner of the Golden State Warriors, maniacal about winning. We don't get that in this town. We don't.
Take us for granted, that's why. Because they just assumed they will always be there.
Best sports town in America. I think our fans are. I think our fans are amazing.
I want someone who just can't do anything else but to think about how we can win a World Series championship or any championship in the city. I mean, they do it in the Bay Area.
The truth of the matter is I'm about only one thing in my rest of my life, and that's winning and winning championships. Mm-hmm. I'm maniacal. It's all I care about. That's it. And we've done really well. We've won four in 8 years, which is incredible. We made six finals in 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, there was somebody else that did this as an owner, Jerry Buss. I look up to him. 33 years of ownership, 16 finals.
Wow.
So that 50% rate is a pretty – I don't know that we can continue that, but I'm sure as hell going to try.
Right.
And that's my goal. That's my goal, is to have this team be great.
Joe Lacob.
Joe Lacob, owner of the Golden State Warriors. They spend more on payroll and luxury taxes and everything else, coaches, than anybody in the league. And he said, I'm maniacal. That's all I care about is winning championships. That's it. We have not had an owner say that here. None. Have they ever come out and said, all I care about is did I get a ring or not? We want to play big games. We want to be competitive. It's Chicago, man. This is not freaking Detroit, Cleveland, Minneapolis, Kansas City, or Omaha. Come on. Let's go.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Some thoughts from Jed Hoyer from Marquee on free agency and getting winning players.
I mean, we want guys that are about winning. You know, we want guys that we talk about our plan and what we want to achieve, and we, you know, and I think we want guys that buy into that. We want guys that really want to come in here and be part of something, you know, special for a long term. There'll be guys we bring in on 1 year deals. There'll be guys we bring in on longer deals. The guys on longer deals, we definitely want to make sure we're open and honest. But this is what we're trying to create, and we want you to come in and be part of it. And, you know, bringing in really good makeup, good people, that's critical to what we want to do.
Interesting what Jed Hoyer and his perspective is, right? And then there's Rick Hahn.
You know, a year ago, we're coming off a division championship. We're widely prognosticated to win the division going away. So a blockbuster, you know, earth roster shaking move was probably a little less on the agenda. This year, I think we have to be open-minded, given the way we performed in 22. Doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. Not necessarily, but we at least have to be open-minded to something like that.
When you say open-minded, I mean, you know, would that be people coming to you, or do you be open-minded of being the aggressive team?
Both.
Looking to shake
both. We have all sorts of ideas floating around. I mean, some that we volunteer to other clubs, and some that, you know, come through the door from someone else's brainchild. Again, we have to. It's been important to us to look at how we do things with fresh eyes. Everything from, you know, our pregame prep to our hitting program to our you know, sports performance side of things to how we make decisions in the front office. Like, we have to, based on how things went last year, we need fresh eyes on everything.
Flying home to Chicago with Clevenger. Coming up.
Boarding group three. Just, come on, Mike.
God
We're
almighty.
In group three.
Oh, my God.
You've got a middle seat, and I'll take the one in the back, the middle by the lavatory.
Is that how you guys fly? Is that how you guys fly?
Oh, hey, Jed, where are you going? Our charter's over here. You need a ride?
God almighty. I heard that you got a chance at a nice bargain with the middle seat. Southwest Airlines. Jeez. Coming up.
Wow.
We'll get your phone calls in on that, and also some thoughts about the Bears as far as what the Bears should do here during the bye week with Justin Fields. We'll get to that. Don't forget, we got Jesse Rogers at 9:35, all part of the mix right here. Danny's going to put money in your pocket in one moment right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bah, bah,
bah, bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
It's the Captain J. Good Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I to remind you, Jesse Rogers comes your way at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000 with the latest on the Cubs and the White Sox. Sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, you may. Brought to you by Ankin Law, 312-6 million for the great Howard Ankin. Put that lawyer in your phone.
Sign my ball. Today is National Illinois Day. Besides Chicago, give me the three best cities in Illinois.
I would tell you DeKalb because I lived there. I like it. You're asking for my opinion or what I think the masses would say?
No, whatever you think.
I'll go DeKalb because I liked it. I would probably say Naperville is a cool town. And I'll go with Deerfield. So there you go.
I wrote off the top of my head Evanston, Oak Park, and Naperville.
Those are three really good choices.
Mm-hmm. So happy National Illinois Day. Today.
Skokie. I grew up in Skokie. That was cool.
How about now?
I don't get there much.
Yeah. Well, you don't get there much, huh? Not in the area?
I drive by it on the Edens.
How quickly? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Don't hang around the old hood much anymore, huh?
Once in a while, I jump over to Old Orchard, but the rest of it, no.
Hmm. What happened there? As we talk to you about the...
I'm busy. I'm working with you.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Then after 10, then what happens? So, right? I was thinking of just those cities off the top of my head. There's so many, right? Especially downstate.
Yep.
I was going to mention, like, Champaign, what's going through there.
Decatur.
Yeah. There's a lot, but that's...
East St. Louis.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I went to Kentucky for a wedding a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it was my first time driving through southern Illinois.
Yeah. It's boring as all get out.
Respectfully, dear God.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of a more depressing place I've ever driven through. Respectfully, holy mercy. How does anybody live there?
I mean.
Yeah, it's pretty boring.
Yeah, just a lot of land.
Right? My wife's from Dixon.
Drove through there this weekend.
Yeah. Grew up, born in Charleston, lived Orland Park, then to Dixon for the... most of her childhood through college. Yeah, land that time forgot.
Some thoughts now from Space with us on ESPN 1000. Hello, Space.
Cap, Hoodie, what's up, fellas?
Spacey!
Okay, Space, what's your idea?
Hey, I'll tell you this. You know, as a Sox fan, I was absolutely depressed at the lack of moves we've been making. But after hearing... Rick Hahn speak that you played, I feel even worse. You know, I have no idea what these guys are doing. I have no idea what direction we're trying to go in. I'd rather, like you say with the Bears, pick a lane and stay with. I'd rather pick a lane and at least let us know what's going on. We don't know what you guys are trying to do. We don't know if you're trying to just tank and deal for the future. Are you still in win now mode? I have no idea what they're doing in the front office. It's depressing. And that's Chicago sports across the board. Let me just be honest. That's the Cubs are looking pretty good. You know, that's what's crazy. The Cubs are looking pretty good compared to all the other organizations besides the Bears with the hope of Justin Fields. That's all we got. You know, so it's depressing being a Chicago fan right now with sports. So especially your home team. Oh, man, it hurts. I wish he's listening. Please, if you're listening, do something. Pick up somebody. Make an offer for somebody. Are you going to try to get better this offseason at least? I have no idea, but I'm depressed. I don't even want to see baseball when it comes on.
All right, my friend.
Confused.
We appreciate the telephone call.
Thanks, Space.
How about this, Cap? Just say, for instance, just pretend that Eloy starts the season in left field.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, can you win with this lineup? Can you win with T.A. at short, Robert in center, Aloy in left, Yaz in cleanup, Vaughn at first, Moncada at third, Oscar Colas in right, Sheets the DH, and Luis Garcia hitting ninth at second base.
Who?
Luis Garcia.
Oh, Luis Garcia.
Luis Garcia.
No, you cannot.
Who? Luis Garcia.
Yeah, you can't win with that team.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
I mean, just what you got today, right now.
Right. I don't believe that's what the team will look like when they break camp. But if that is the team that breaks camp and your rotation is Cease, Lynn, Giolito, who else? Who am I missing? Kopech and Clevinger.
Yeah, I can deal with that.
And Hendricks is still your closer?
I can deal with that. The pitching, I can deal with. I can win with that.
That team, top to bottom, in my opinion, is not good enough to win.
I like that pitching, though.
No, you're not in a great division.
No, I understand, but what you laid out there for the pitching, I can deal with. It's the offense I have a problem with.
Agreed.
That's the problem.
I mean, you got a team in your own division in a smaller market. The Twins are north of $300 million, I'm hearing, on Correa.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in. They had dinner with him the other night, and they're trying to get that deal done. The Cubs are in there. There's a bunch of the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Your team's not good enough.
Why don't you ask? You've been asking the same question off the air. I want you to ask people on the air the question you've been asking. You are befuddled on why San Diego is spending so much money and where they're getting it from.
Yeah, I don't understand how San Diego. They were now supposedly north of where the Yankees were on Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading something from one of the Yankees reporters that Aaron Judge got on the phone with Hal Steinbrenner 2 days ago. I want to be a Yankee.
He's no longer Shallow Hal.
Correct.
Is what Boris said. That's
right.
Another one of his deals.
Yeah. he said, I want to be a Yankee, but you guys are a year short and you're short on money. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving money on the table. I'm not going to do it. You offered me 213.5 before last season. Turned it down. Bet on myself. Had a historically good year. And so Hal said, if I go to 9 and 360, add another $40 million in another year, he said, deal. Done. So where are the Padres? They tried to sign Trey Turner for $343 million. He said, no, thank you.
And he went to?
Philly for $300.
They're about it,
because
too,
they're
they?
Making the California taxes. There's a big gap there. So sure. They said, we'll overpay.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm good. Aaron Judge. No, thanks. I'm good. Are they going after Correa? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I would think they want to move Tatis maybe to center. Where are they getting all this money unless they're planning, if they're not in it, to trade Soto? He's a free agent, not next winter, the following winter.
Yeah. He's 24. Did you part with someone who's 24? The next Ted Williams.
Yeah,
whatever they called him a couple years ago on The Athletic.
Yeah, and he's how old? 24, you said?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Let's see what he's got left on his
deal. Got so much. I know we've been talking about him for such a long time, but boy, that guy, Cap. Juan Soto, at that age, he's got so much more to give.
Okay, so Juan Soto he's got this year, rough guesstimate in his arbitration will be $20 million. And then he's got another arb year next season at age 25. He's a free agent. Excuse me, 24. He's a free agent in 25. So he's got two more years in San Diego. So if they don't win with him, I would think they'd trade him, but I don't know.
I look at it from the fan standpoint. You got the glasses at the tip of the nose looking at their payroll.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a fan, I am just overjoyed that I'm in San Diego. My team is going nose to nose with the Dodgers.
Right.
You gotta love it, though, man. Try
love it.
As if you're a Sox fan or a Cub fan and your team is in on Judge or in on Trey, like if you're in the mix and you get one of these guys, you're like, my team cares.
So the
my
White
teams are right there.
Your White Sox right now, where do they rank in payroll?
I don't know. What is it?
They today are 11th. $139 million. The Cubs, 14th, $104 million. Now I don't know if this has updated. Let me look and see who they have on the Cubs payroll. You guys.
But with the Cubs, at least the arrow's pointing up on that payroll.
They've already got Bellinger listed. I don't believe they have Jameson. They do not have Jameson Taillon on there. So his money will get added to it. So they're at 147.
Yeah. So there you go.
So
it's about a commitment to winning, Cap. That's what it comes down to.
It is.
It's as meaningful or more meaningful for baseball than it is for football for me, because we spend so much time watching our teams. We spend all spring and summer watching our teams day in and day out. So you expect to get something in return.
If you add in the estimated arbitration awards, the Cubs' projected tax payroll number with everything will be 174. Then you got to add in Taillon, and they're going to make another big signing. I'm sure they'll move some money out. They also, on the Cody Bellinger deal that I got a text this morning, so it's 1 year, 17 and a half. They gave him there's an option, which he won't. If he plays well, he's not going to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But it allowed them to push $5 million of that money into next year's payroll. So they keep their number down so they can spend more under the luxury tax.
Jesse Rogers with the latest on the Cubs and White Sox. He'll join us coming up next. Don't forget, we will crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 10. All part of the mix on Cap and J Hood. Here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 10, Carmen and Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6 right here on ESPN 1000. Now let's talk about the winter meetings. A man who knows arson when he sees it. Whether he reports it with Judge or not, this man knows his baseball.
And we also have a signing to report as we lead to Jesse. Jose Quintana is a Met, 2 years, $26 million.
I hear he's elite as we turn to Jesse Rogers now on ESPN 1000. Hello, Jess.
Buicks in New York.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Yeah, it's gotten wild. You know, they shorten these things by a day, so everything's compacted a little bit. And we're seeing some wild signings middle of the night with Judge, basically. And, yeah, we're going to see a bunch more today before everybody gets out of here.
I'd love to see a picture of you actually laying down probably with a cot right there in the lobby. You haven't been to bed. You wrote about the Tyone deal like, you know, 4 hours before he came on the air. You've been on that beat pretty closely. How much did that signing surprise you?
Not at all. Not at all. I think you're seeing exactly what the Cubs strategy is. It's similar to last year, if you think about it. We're going to sign up a Wade Miley for 1 year. We'll sign Cody Bellinger for 1 year. But meanwhile, we're going to sign Seiya Suzuki for five, and we're here going to sign Jameis Taillon for four. It means a little bit of a two-pronged approach, right? Something short-term, maybe it sticks, maybe it doesn't, but then again, a guy or two for the longer term. And I think they're going to continue to do that. First base would be a short-term option, and then, of course, if they get one of the shortstops, that would be the longer term. I don't mind what Jed is doing at all. If you accept this is a rebuild, and it might be a quick one, I think he's doing well. If you need it all in one offseason, then you're not going to like some of these one-year reclamation type of projects, which, by the way, Cody Bellinger is, though he has a lot of upside.
By the way, Bob Nightingale just reporting the primary reason why Aaron Judge flew to San Diego on Tuesday was to meet with the San Diego Padres. He ended up rejecting a $400 million 10-year deal.
That's all true. I actually texted a Padre guy last night, 2 seconds before we got on the air. He texted me this morning and said, sorry, Jess, couldn't do it. Yes, he was with us. So this is what's going on with A.J. Preller and the Padres. They've developed a good team, right? They have an owner that will spend, and they are just selling San Diego and Petco. I'm sitting looking out the marina. It's gorgeous here, as you guys know.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, a team that really, if you look at like these weird, not weird, but if you look at like internal rankings of popularity just nationally, the Padres rank down at the bottom. But you have something to sell now. So Preller is in on everyone because he knows he's going to win a few just based on where they play. He flew here. He met with them. It was down to the Giants, Padres, and Yankees. I predicted 10-370, and I thought it was going to be high. Turns out not so high, 9-360 for Judge.
Anything else on the Cubs ledger that you expect? Because as Cap and I have been talking about this morning, based on your reporting, this is a good start. You know, the Bellinger signing, Taillon. What else is for the Cubs that you've been hearing?
Yeah, definitely first base. I mentioned Trey Mancini a few weeks ago. I thought he would be like a third option after Abreu and Josh Bell. So that's a possibility. Probably some other first baseman in there as well. You know, there could be a surprise name, but nobody at the level of, let's say, Abreu. So that, again, is closer to sort of Bellinger, the one-year deal. Let's see what Matt Mervis does. There's more pitching to be had, sort of mid-tier, one step below Taillon, which, by the way, I think Stroman and Taillon are perfect twos and threes. On this team, they're one and two. So I wouldn't mind a one. They don't grow on trees, though, and they cost you a lot. So I feel like they're still going to be, you know, that number one short, even though they might fill up with twos, threes, and fours. So we'll see if there's another pitcher. They do have Steele. They do have Thompson. So they have enough to round out, but Hendricks is still coming off an injury. It wouldn't be bad to find another one, maybe not for 17 a year, but maybe for 10 a year. So pitching is still there. And there could be another pitcher come in the bullpen for sure. That's something they're still working on. And then they're going to wait on the shortstop. Stansby Swanson is getting married this weekend. I don't think he's making a decision before that. All those Braves are going to be there. Brian Snitker, I saw yesterday, is like, yeah, I'm making one last pitch to Dansby at this wedding. So I don't believe anything's happening this weekend. And we'll see how good Snit is at persuasion because going back about a week, I've been told this is a 50-50 decision if he leaves the Braves. I think if he does, the Cubs are right there at the top of the list. I can't say they're the favorites, but they're right there at the top of the list. I don't think Correa's coming here. I haven't heard anything to change my mind there. Bogart's a little interesting. Now that Judge has signed, does that mean San Francisco's definitely in on Bogart's because they lost on Judge? Same question for Correa. So those two, I'm not positive what's happening there. I do know Cubs are waiting on Swanson a little bit. He's getting married this weekend, and I think he'll make a decision soon.
So you don't think there's a chance that they get two of these guys?
No, I don't.
Because, Jesse, don't. Let me just read you this. This is what comes off the books after this season. Hayward's $23 million. They still have to pay it, even though he's gone. Kyle Hendricks, they have a club option at 15.5. If he's not healthy, they probably wouldn't pick that up. Yan Gomes, they have a club option at $7 million. Bellinger, 17. Ian Happ makes 10.6. That's $72.1 million. That's a lot of freaking cash that comes free. I don't see why they wouldn't go Dansby. When you walk down the aisle, already know that you're done. Let's get this done right now. And Bogaerts, you're going to third.
Yeah, as you can tell with even Taillon and Bellinger, there were no cheap discounts on. There's no discounts on any of these players. I just don't equate intelligent spending to paying two guys shortstop.
That intelligent spending went out the window, I'm telling you. Tom Ricketts told him to take the checkbook. Green light. Let's go.
Yeah, well, and that's why they got Bellinger, and that's why they got Taillon, and that's why they might get one shortstop. Anyway, that was one other reporter's report. You want to talk to Mark Feinstein, get him on. I am not hearing any chatter from anybody that they would sign up to at max money for shortstops and move one to third base. I haven't heard it, but, you know, it's a crazy notion that Mark Feinstein from MLB.com put out there. Ask him. No one I've talked to thinks that is a possibility or in the cards. So who knows?
What are the Sox doing?
Waiting for these free agents to come off the board and then maybe strike a deal. Maybe there's something today in the next few days. I could see them after they leave here striking some kind of a trade. I don't know which trade or what deal could look like, and it could be just about anybody on the roster. I mean, I will say Rick has been transparent. He's not like, oh, we love our guys. We're just doing tweaks. No, I've asked him 2 days in a row. This isn't about tweaks. We will try to make something bigger. And again, if they take from a strength, they hope to strengthen two weaknesses. So if it's Giolito and you know, you lose a pitcher, maybe it's a right field and a shortstop, a second base. I don't know. But if it's Liam Hendricks, same thing. We need to replace him, but hopefully who we get back strengthens our team. They're looking for depth on the pitching staff, second baseman if they find one. I think that Colas is going to be kind of the guy in right. You have Gavin Sheets hanging out there a little bit as well. But I think they'd like to some more pitching and a second baseman if they could find one. Second base seems like a trade. I don't think right field is a trade. That's the way I'm looking at it, if they pull one off.
Just possibility
of catcher, too. Possibility.
Okay, so, and Cap and I were going through this, you know, going around the horn with the White Sox, too. Do you suspect that Sheets will play every day in left field and Aloy will be the DH? Like, what's going to happen there?
Yeah, it's actually a very good question because I've been asking that too, and I asked Han yesterday, where is Sheets in this? Not that he's Babe Ruth, but he's one of the few lefties that can hit the ball out of the park and had a good second half. And he kind of basically said, now with Vaughn at first, and not Abreu and Braun, not Abreu and Vaughn needing playing time at first, Sheets moves up a notch at first. In other words, when Vaughn sits out, Sheets plays first. When Eloy sits DHs, Sheets plays left. If they need him in right, I mean, he tried to sell that he's a better outfielder. And, you know, when you're better from crap, I guess you are. But, you know what I mean? Like, he was terrible, but he's a little bit better. So, basically, it's one less rotation guy because Abreu's gone, and that's where Sheets fits into the mix.
Jesse, let's also talk about, I think you mentioned Kodai Senga, but who's going to close for the Cubs? Are they in the market there? The latest on Contreras and Christian Vasquez.
Yeah, the catching market's really interesting. I thought from the beginning, because I knew Houston, you know, liked Wilson, it just whatever reason didn't work out, and now they're admitting publicly that they've met with them and have interest. I thought Houston had the leg up, but it definitely sounds like it's a two-man race between St. Louis and the Houston Astros. I was a little surprised, but that St. Louis, after doing some due diligence and hearing about the catch and the framing, I was surprised they were sort of going in on St. Louis as much on him as much as they are, but I think the criticism of Wilson is overrated. So maybe they do as well. Maybe they've heard all the stuff and say, well, you know what? It's Wilson Contreras. He's damn good. So. So I do think it's basically a two-man race. What I did hear on the day one of these meetings is the market wasn't robust. Like, there weren't eight teams after Wilson Contreras, which is what you really want to drive up that bid. So it's really, I think, down to two or so, and I'm not sure he's going to get the total package he wants. It's going to be interesting. Is it 68? Is it 70? Is it 75? If he gets a big one, then his agents did a good job of bidding the two teams against each other. For some reason, I still think it's going to be Houston, but I am open to being wrong there, and St. Louis might come in and get him. So that's that. Now, Christian Vasquez does have 9 or 10 teams after him. I think the Cubs are absolutely in the mix there. I would have thought the Cubs were in the mix to trade for someone like Sean Murphy or one of the Blue Jays, but the chatter on trades with the Cubs hasn't been pretty big. Doesn't mean it can't pick up. I will say, if the Cubs pick up a catcher, I think it's Vasquez or one of the Toronto ones in a trade. I just haven't heard much on the trade front.
Jesse, lastly, I'll ask you this way. Have you heard anything from teams that would want Giolito or would want Liam Hendricks? Because it's one thing for the Sox to say that they're going to do something, but again, at the deadline, you did very little. And the same thing, it sounds like the same thing we're hearing from Han from the sound that you sent in, you know, about being open-minded to trade possibilities. So have you heard on the other end, would people be interested in Giolito or Hendricks, some of the better players in the Sox?
Yeah, I mean, definitely on Hendricks, because there are teams that are in it that don't have a dominant closer like him. I mean, the Phillies name came up. I mean, the Phillies are getting everyone, but they don't have that lockdown closer type. So they're a possibility. I mean, you go through the playoff teams and you find the teams that don't have a dominant closer, they'd be interested. And Han basically admitted to that fact yesterday. When we said we were sort of open for trades, we got a lot of calls, and we got calls on our top-end pitchers. We know who that is. Giolito's a little different, I think, because his value isn't as high. I'm not sure every contender has room for Giolito. I think there's some teams that would take him to rebuild his value, and sort of the mid-tier teams that aren't necessarily counting on him to be a 1, 2, or 3. But I don't know every team, but I will tell you that there is interest in both those guys. There's always interest in pitchers that are on the market because they don't cost you the same as these free agents. These numbers for mid-tier free agents are going through the roof.
As always, Jesse, we appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, man. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys. We might have clarity on Wilson Contreras and maybe a first baseman for the Cubs by the end of the day. So we'll see how it plays out. But a lot of names coming off the board. Good talking to you guys.
You too.
Jesse Rogers with us with the latest on the Cubs. With us here on Cap and Jay Hood. All right, coming up, we will have the...
Feel bad for you.
Cap. I mean, I asked him that last question because I wanted to have it in inverse order. Like, what teams are asking or be interested in Sox players? Since Han is not doing any deals right now, maybe someone says, you know what, we could put a Giolito in there. You could use a Hendricks there. Because that's the only way we're going to get information about the White Sox, that way.
That's what it sounds like.
Tumbleweeds over
there. I
had
also heard the White Sox kick the tires on Kenley Jansen if they traded Hendricks. They need a closer if you're trying to win. He just signed with the Red Sox for 2 years, $32 million. See you later.
Back after this.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. That's right. Try the lobster escargot. It's spectacular. Mint Oreo ice cream pie. Amazing dessert. Carrot cake's really good, too, according to my kids.
Never had it?
I'm not a carrot cake guy.
Okay. What dessert do you like there?
Mint Oreo ice cream pie. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, it's good.
All right, JC.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Much has been made of Justin Fields' struggles in late game.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
Screw
what the
you.
Hell you say?
said, screw you.
Screw you! Want to hear your story?
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut! It's the Cap and J Head Cut of the Day.
I don't have anything in my throat.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
That's right. David Flom and Matt Moore. You go in and say hello to those two owners. They'll give you the best dining experience you've had.
Shout out to the Illini with their victory against Texas yesterday in overtime.
Nicely done. Brad Underwood just keeps finding a way to win. That was a really good comeback.
It was fun.
It was.
It was against former UIC head coach and now assistant with Texas. Steve McClain was on that Texas bench.
How about that?
You know, if you're looking for him, he usually is in a catcher's crouch looking up.
Yes.
I've never seen a coach for the entire game catcher's crouch looking up at the floor.
Right.
Very odd.
Very odd. Nice man.
Yes.
Odd.
Very odd.
On the sidelines.
Also, my friend, good to hear Dickie V. Dick Vitale did the second game of that doubleheader at Madison Square Garden.
Good to see his health is rebounding.
Iowa, the Iowa game.
Mm-hmm.
Against Duke.
Correct.
He did Duke that won. Game. Boy, and sounded good.
He did.
Sounded good. Now, you have a relationship with Dick. You know Dick.
I do. I would text with him while he was going through all of his treatments.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good man, I'm telling you. Really good person.
I was,
love him.
I was seeing the Valvano speech again.
Yeah, it was Jimmy V week.
Yeah. I was watching the speech again, man.
He just introduced him.
It's just amazing. Right? It's just like the temerity, the strength.
The what?
The verve, the strength that he had to be able to stand up there, Valvano,
it
to
was
do that
amazing.
Speech.
And they did not know. He said when they flew him in, I think on a private jet, he's like, there's no way I can do this. He was that sick.
Yeah.
And summoned all the courage and strength and gave that speech for the ages.
This guy over there says, I got 30 seconds. I got tumors all over my body. This guy's telling me 30 seconds. They're counting them down.
Right.
I should have fired that guy immediately after the ESPYs.
He's like, yeah, I'm going as long as I want.
it still resonates today, Cap. That was years ago, but it still resonates today, his strength to be able to give you some keys to life.
Incredible.
So I just thought that was awesome.
Yep. Dickie V. Awesome. Good to hear him back. His first game he ever did. Who was it?
Who was it? Tell us.
DePaul, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
1980. Wes Matthews Sr. against Mark Aguirre.
Was he any good?
Take that. He was, as he said, awful.
My dad said he was awful. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We thank you for twitching and being part of the program. Our thanks to Shay, who's hanging in there after his Pepsi and milk combination. He's doing okay. And, of course, JC on the other side of the glass. So for David Kaplan, John the Hood, we'll crosstalk with Black and Abdallah. That's coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7.
Let's get it on.
So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.